notices for the coming week are as
follows. On Wednesday, the prayer meeting will be held at 8 p.m. and that will be on Zoom. On Friday, the church cafe will meet at 10 a.m. in the church hall, alongside the craft group, also at 10 a.m. in the Jubilee Hall. I've been asked to give a notice out. We do require a delegate to represent the church at the annual conference. If you're willing or would like to represent the church, then if you want more information, you can either see myself or David. And you can also attend as a visitor. So if you don't feel you want to go and vote on behalf of the church and you want to see what's going on, you can go and attend as a visitor. So either of those things, if you're interested, talk to myself or David. Next Sunday, the preacher is Terry Osborne, and the worship warriors will meet in the Jubilee Hall at 11 a.m. It's my pleasure to welcome Roger Gadsby with us this morning. It's lovely to have you with us again, Roger.
Thank you very much.
And I'll hand over to you.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Lovely to be with you and to share in this morning worship with you. I look around. I'm not quite sure whether there's anybody new from last time I was here, just probably 3 or 4 months ago. So just a few words of introduction, so you know who I am. My name's Roger. Born and brought up in Coventry. One of my connections to the church is that my mother's mother, my grandma, Emma Elizabeth, who our daughter is named after, was a member of this church in end of the 19th century, beginning of the 20th century, and I still have the Bible that my grandmother was given age 16. When she was part of the Sunday school in this church. Just a little bit of interest. Apparently, when they got married in the very early 1900s, it was traditional that ladies went to the church of their husbands. And so, Emma Elizabeth, my nanny, my grandma, went to Salem Baptist Church in Longford, and a number of us, I know Salem well, and have been involved in preaching there for a long time. But my nanny used to say to me, she really regretted that thing. That she really loved the church that she was part of. She was a Turner, and they lived over in England's Green. And her husband lived, was part of the Falconbridge family in the old mill that is now housed at the same. So I've got very close connections through grandparents on my mother's side, both of them actually lived within a mile of your church here. So that's me. Anyway, born and brought up in Coventry, retired GP, and my home church is in Leamington.
Your mic's on mute.
Is it? It's on mute, is it? So, I've got a loud voice, so hopefully you can. I haven't got to repeat it all. What do I need to do?
There you go.
Okay, wonderful. Oh, that's better. Did you hear? You heard it. I've got a loud voice. Smashing. So it's great to be with you, and as I say, got very fond memories of the church. Well, not memories because it's through, but grandparents. So there's obviously lots of family connections with the church and the fellowship here at Alderman's Green. We're going to spend this morning concentrating on the life of a lady called Anna. We got any Annas in the congregation this morning? It's one of those Christian names I think comes in waves and goes. We've got a friend we've got an Anna, and we've got an Anna in church. You know somebody who's an Anna, do you?
Her name's Anna.
So we've got Annas. Anyway, this one's called Anna. There's only 3 verses in the Bible about her, but we're going to discover that there's an awful lot we can learn from the life of Anna, as I say, even though there's only three verses about her in the Bible. We're going to worship together as we sing Jesus is Lord, as we acknowledge that Jesus is the reason we're here to worship this morning. Jesus has called us to be his followers, and as his followers, we come to worship him together this morning. And we sing, Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord, creation's voice proclaims it.
You are the boss. You are in charge. You are the great creator. You are the one who has saved us. And we come this morning to worship you. You are worthy of our worship and our praise. Lord, we pray that we may be drawn to you as we worship, that we may experience your presence with us as we sing, as we pray, as we listen to your word, as we think about your word. Lord, that we may be drawn to you, to know you, to love you, to serve you. We realize, Lord, that we fail you. We do things that we shouldn't do. We sometimes fail to do good that we should. And so we come at the beginning of the service to say we're sorry and we ask for your forgiveness. And we thank you that when we come in the name of Jesus asking for forgiveness, you grant it, you give us forgiveness because you died for us. Your body was broken and your blood was shed that we might be forgiven. And we praise you and thank you for all that you've done. Lord, as a company of your people, we want to draw close to you. We want to learn from you this morning. And we pray that you will speak to us in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, I'm just going to read one verse of our reading. And it says, Anna had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then she was a widow until she was 84. The reading takes us back 2,000 years to a situation a bit different than it is today for women. The situation 2,000 years ago was that most women got married as teenagers and their life was fulfilled in marriage and having children. And so this lady Anna probably got married when she was about 17. She lived with her husband for 7 years. We don't know what else went on in that time. The implication from the Bible is that she probably didn't have any children. And then when she was 24, a very young age, her husband died. And the death of a husband meant that the woman herself would have no means of income. Women didn't usually work in those days. They were just home builders. And so, Anna, at the age of 24, was widowed. She'd lost her husband and she'd lost her only means of income. What a tragedy. What, in human terms, would be called a human disaster. How would a 24-year-old cope? How would her life be able to continue? What we read in the next little section is that she never left the temple, but worshipped night and day. And it was something I actually said to you last time I was here, in dealing with a very different portion of Scripture. But one of the implications and one of the questions I asked a few months ago when I was with you is, how do you cope with disaster and difficulty in your life? We all have them, don't we? We all have had situations in our lives where things have been tough, where things have been difficult, when there have been things that we wish wouldn't have happened. We'd have pleaded to God, Lord, make that go away. It's too hard. I can't cope. And yet, that situation has happened. And life's like that, isn't it? Being a Christian doesn't give us immunity from the tragedies and the difficulties of life. But the question for us is, how do we react? Does it push us away from God? Do we think, God, you've been unfair. Life's been unfair. This has been too hard. I can't cope. I'm going to have less to do with you. I'm going to run away. Or does it as it did for Anna, does it actually push us closer to God, more dependent on him, more fully involved in the worship and the service of our living God? Because that's what happened to Anna. We're going to read on that she spent the rest of her life, another 60 years. She's 84 in the account that Luke gives us. 84. A huge age. I'm not going to ask if there's any 84-year-olds in the congregation. I wouldn't be that presumptuous. But 84 is quite a big age. I'm 74, so it's getting to be less of a big age because I'm getting nearer to that bit. But hey ho. She had lived her life. Marriage, living with a husband, actually had been a very small proportion of her life. 7 years. The majority of her life was spent in widowhood. But not a widowhood where it would seem she felt that life had passed her by and there was nothing she could do and that she was of no value to society. No. A widowhood that was spent in God's service. So the first challenge that Anna brings to us is, how do we cope when tragedy and difficulty affect our lives? Does it send us to God? Does it send us away from God? Anna's example is someone who was drawn ever closer to God. And she lived a life of service to God. And the context of Anna is that she was there when Jesus as a baby was presented in the temple, and Anna was there to see that at aged 84. Let's just pray. Lord, life can be tough and we're not immune to the hardships and the tragedies that can happen in life. We pray, Lord, that from the example of Anna, when we experience tragedy and difficulty, it might send us towards you and not away from you. That it might enable our lives to be even more in dedication and service to you, that we might be fruitful and useful in your service. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing again. And a wonderful hymn of praise and worship, meekness and majesty, emphasizing the servanthood of all that Jesus came to do for us, serving us, meekness and majesty.
Thank you.
Now, as part of our worship, we're going to take up our offerings for God's work. Let's pray, shall we? Our Lord and our God, we thank you for all that you've done for us. We can't earn your favour, Lord, but in gratitude for all that you've done, we give you thanks. And we bring these gifts of money and pray that they may be used wisely for your work. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. We come to that time in our service where we bring our prayers of intercession to the Lord. We pray for some of the big issues in our world, the conflicts that are going on. And we'll also have time to pray and think about things local, people and situations known to us here in Alderman's Green that are of concern to us. So we join together in prayers of intercession. Let's pray together, shall we? Our Lord and our God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit, we thank you for all that you have given us. You've given us this beautiful world in which we live, but Lord, it is a world that has been damaged and marred by our sin and our turning away from you. And so we've got a world, Lord, full of bloodshed, full of war and rumour of war, where powerful dictators and rich people rule over others. Lord, it's not the way you designed it to be, and we realise that. But Lord, you still love your world that you created, and so we want to pray to bring to you our concern and our heartfelt feelings about some of the things going on. Lord, we pray for the ongoing conflict in the Middle East. Lord, you know all about that area of the world because you lived there when you came in Jesus. And Lord, we are horrified by the bloodshed and the violence, the hatred and the bitterness. Lord, it's difficult in human terms to see a solution. But Lord, you know the beginning from the end, and we just bring to you that conflict and that area and pray that there may be a peaceful resolution, that the deaths of civilians may be minimised, that some form of political solution may be found. So we pray, Lord, for the leaders of our world as they seek to bring influence to bear on the warring factions in the Middle East. And Lord, we would have a similar prayer for Ukraine. Lord, that again you would give world leaders that desire and inspiration to want to do something about the situation in Ukraine. We want to pray, Lord, that the aggressor might have a change of heart and that there might be a withdrawal from areas in occupation in Ukraine and peace to come. Lord, will you give Western leaders wisdom in how to deal with Putin and the leadership in the Kremlin? And Lord, we pray for the country of Haiti, a country that's had such a history of violence and bloodshed, a country, Lord, where evil, documented voodoo and evil have been prevalent in the history of the country, and which now is in anarchy. Lord, we somehow pray that the forces of evil that have ruled that country might be defeated, and that something of the spiritual light of Jesus might be seen, and that the country may be restored to be a working country again. Lord, there are many other areas of our world that concern us. The Middle Eastern situation in Syria and Iraq rumbles on, Lord. The belligerence and, frankly, almost insane behaviour in North Korea, Lord, with the horrible situation there. The problems with the leadership in China and the authoritarianism there. Lord, there are so many areas, and we bring our prayers to you for our world. And Lord, we realise that as well as all the big things in the world, you are interested in our lives, the detail of our lives, the things that affect us on a daily basis and our concerns. And so we bring our prayers to you for this local community and this church at Alderman's Green, for your blessing on those in leadership, for those who attend regularly, for the ongoing daily and weekly activities of the church and its membership. Lord, will you shine your love into Alderman's Green through these people and this fellowship? Will you show your love through what this group of people do in your service? Will you help them to be the people that you want them to be, doing the things that you want them to do in this area of Coventry? And might they see encouragement from people coming to know Jesus, coming to serve and follow you. Lord, we remember before you those members of the fellowship, those known to us personally, who need your touch at the moment. People perhaps suffering illness, frailty, the problems of disability and old age. Lord, you know those for whom we are thinking right now. And in a moment of quiet, we name individuals before you in our hearts. Lord, you know the people that we're thinking about, the concerns that we have for them, and the prayers that we bring to you on their behalf, that they might know your peace, your presence, and your healing power. Lord, help them to remember, help them to know that we are remembering them in our prayers. Lord, we bring all our prayers, spoken and unspoken. We bring them to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. We sing again, another Graham Kendrick, The Servant King, From Heaven You Came.
From heaven you came, helpless babe.
So, I'm going to read the Bible reading. Apologies, I got the Bible reading. Bible reading should have come before that one. Sorry, hope I haven't mucked up. Nah. The technology can cope with my mistake. So, just three verses in the Bible mention Anna. There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She'd lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, and them is Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus. Coming up to Mary, Joseph and baby Jesus at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. So, what else can we learn from Anna? Very interestingly, Luke tells us that she was a prophetess. Now then, the Bible in the Old Testament had a number of prophets. Some of the books of the Old Testament are called prophets, aren't they? Isaiah, Jeremiah. But most of those prophets were men. There are some prophetesses, but you can count them on the fingers of one hand. Last time I looked, I counted 7 people named as prophetesses in the Old Testament. So, Anna is special because she's a prophetess. One of a very small number. And interestingly, for about 400 years before Jesus was born, God had not spoken by a prophet. The last of the prophets and the prophetesses were at least 400 years before Jesus was born. There had been no direct word from God. And 400 years passed, and here was Anna, a prophetess, speaking God's word. And interestingly, Luke says that she was of the tribe of Asher. I had to look this up, but it's not something I knew. But the tribe of Asher, for that 400 years, had virtually disappeared. The tribe of Asher had been split into two and had largely disappeared as a particular entity in Old Testament understanding. And yet, here was the first prophetess for 400 years from the tribe of Asher, which had virtually disappeared. What do you think Luke is trying to say? I think Luke is saying, look, God is doing a new thing. God is doing something that he's not been involved with for 400 years. God's speaking again. God is talking to his people. God has visited his people in the baby Jesus, who will grow up to be God's Messiah, the Saviour of the world. Luke is saying, look, something new's happening. Even the tribe of Asher, which had been virtually destroyed, was going to be remade. Not in the Jewish sense, but in the sense that all followers of Jesus are God's family. So, just in those two little bits at the beginning of these 3 verses, Luke is telling us that God is doing something new. And God is doing something new through women. Now then, the Old Testament religious system depended largely on men. Men were the priests. Men were the people who were allowed into the inner chambers of the temple. Women and Gentiles were around the outside. But I think God is saying through Anna that his new way of doing things in Jesus, this culmination of all that had happened in the Old Testament, all that had gone on in the Old Testament, Jesus was the fulfillment of it all. And in that fulfillment, women would play their part in religious practice. Women would be gifted in the way that Anna was gifted, and that women would be part of the leadership of all that God was doing. Now then, we have to say that that suggestion that I've just made has taken quite a few hundred years to work its way through, hasn't it? Because if you look at the history of the Christian church, it has been dominated by men. And the Catholic Church today is, the priesthood is all men. I was going to say, you've never seen a female pope, though somebody says in the Middle Ages there was somebody who might have been pope who might have been a lady. But most Christian churches have a tradition of male leadership. And what I would want to say, I'm not going to preach into that slightly controversial area, but what I would say from the perspective of what we're learning about Anna is that women have vital roles to play within the church. So just because you are a woman does not mean that you haven't got work to do and a role to play in the church. And Anna was spiritually gifted in prophecy. Prophecy just means speaking out God's word. And we are all, as followers of Jesus, expected to be witnesses to him, to speak out the truth that we've known, we've come to know, that Jesus is our Lord and Saviour. And we can all do that, and women have an absolutely vital role in that. And I'll come to that from a slightly different angle now. I did ask earlier in the service that rather embarrassing question of is there anybody in the congregation who's 84? I don't know if you know, I'm a doctor, so you often get some illustrations and bits of medicine going in. Do you know what the average age of death would be in Israel in time of Jesus? People have calculated it in their 40s, the average age of death, in their 40s. Why? Because so many people died young. There was huge infant mortality. Just the same as there was in this country. And because there is lots of death in childhood, it pushes the average age of death down. Yeah? But basic maths. And it always used to be the same in this country. Anybody know what the average age of death in this country is now? Well, it's about 79 for men, 81 for women. So women live longer, as men are the weakos. We're less protected. But it's about, yeah. Even in those, so but in that day, Anna at 84, the Bible says she was very old. You might have said she's very, 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 very old. equivalent to 100 these days, perhaps. She was very, very old. And yet, she was still praising God, spiritually active, and was able to recognize God speaking to her. And when baby Jesus came, brought by the parents, Anna recognized what was going on and that this baby was very special. Now then, I've been in churches where I've heard older people say, there's not much I can do now, you know. You know, I always used to do the cleaning. I always used to be able to make the drinks. I could do so much practically in the church. And now, you know, I'm frail. I can't do very much. I can't really be of much help in the church. And I feel like putting my arms around such people and saying, rubbish. Rubbish. Just because you can't do the practical things that you used to do. And yes, as we get older, we become less safe, apart from anything else, at doing some of the practical things. I mean, you wouldn't want me to climb a high ladder, honestly. You really wouldn't. I mean, I climb a little ladder sometimes when my wife's not looking. But, you know, you wouldn't want me to climb a high ladder. Why? Because as you get older, your balance goes a bit. And if you're 20 foot up there and your balance goes and you fall off, you're going to do yourself some serious damage, aren't you? So there are things that we do that are different as we get older. If we're being sensible with ourselves, we don't do some of the stuff that we used to be able to do, simply because age has caught up with us a bit. But it never stops. Age does not stop you praying. It doesn't stop you. You can pray whatever age you are. In fact, as you get older and perhaps become slightly more frail and don't go out so much, you may have more time to pray. Actually, your prayer life can grow and develop simply because there's more time to dedicate to it. You can serve in other ways. And so, as we get older, yes, our roles and responsibilities in Christian fellowship may change. They may need to change. But it doesn't stop us being able to serve God. And the spiritual stuff, which is the absolute backbone of whatever a church does, the prayers of its people, the dedication to God of its people in prayer, is the thing that makes churches work. And older people may well have more time to dedicate to that form of spiritual service in the church. So don't allow anyone to ever say to you that as you get older, you lose value. You don't. I think your value goes up. You've got experience. You've got a lifetime of following and knowing Jesus. And your work in prayer and worship is of tremendous value. So Anna would be a very, very, very old lady. I sort of picture her somehow in my mind's eye, a bit like Mother Teresa, being sort of, you know, small and thin and leather skin sort of thing, you know, quite elderly and frail. But Anna was still worshipping God, praying to God, receiving God's word, speaking God's word out. And Anna recognized Jesus when he was presented. Her spiritual faculties were alive and strong and vibrant and working. And when God said to her, get alongside this couple, this baby is my chosen one, Anna recognized. And interestingly, Anna told other people. Anna, one of the first New Testament evangelists. The shepherds were the first New Testament evangelists. They went and told people what they'd seen. And here, a few days after Jesus' birth, probably at 10 or 12 days, when that was the time when children were presented in the temple, babies were presented to give thanks to them, like dedication. Anna recognized Jesus, and then Anna said, coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. So Anna was a prayer warrior. She recognized the baby, and she told others about Jesus. We had a lovely lady who was part of our church fellowship who was in her 90s. She was very, very old. She was 95 when she died. And she lived at home until about 6 months before she passed. And she went into an old people's home in that last 6 months. And I tell you, I think everybody on the corridor, all the staff who worked on that corridor, knew about Jesus because Beryl told them about her, about him, in that last 6 months of her life before she died. What a tremendous opportunity there is, whether we're at home, in hospital, and Beryl was in hospital for a couple of weeks, and most of the ward and most of the nurses found out about Beryl's faith in Jesus because Beryl told them about it while she was in hospital. And as I say, in those months she was in that old people's home, people heard about Jesus because Beryl spoke about Jesus. And Anna did the same. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you use us at whatever age we are. And as we get older and can't do some of the things we used to do, there are still jobs for us in the church, the job of prayer, the job of witnessing. Lord, help us each to recognize what we can do in your service, whatever our age. Amen. It's St. Patrick's Day. Don't know if we have any Irish in the congregation, but it's St. Patrick's Day. And patron saint, St. Patrick, wrote poetry and wrote hymns. And we're going to sing the final hymn, Be Thou My Vision, is based on words that St. Patrick is reported to have written, called the breastplate of St. Patrick. God before me, God behind me, God my vision in all of my life. So we sing, Be Thou My Vision. Words of blessing. May the blessing of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and evermore. Amen.